All right, man. How goes it?
It is going pretty good. A couple days on the road for some work. Back in the garage and feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
All good. Yeah, no complaints. No complaints. I had a cinnamon raisin bagel today, so life's good.
I mean, things are looking up.
You can't ask for much more than that.
No.
We got a fun question today from the community that I really like, and I feel like I could, if I wanted to, strongly support either side, just to be like
Sure.
devil's advocate and all that. So that it could be fun. But before I do that, I try to remember what I always forget. Go to variednotrandom.com, check all the cool cycles that we offer, get your first pull up, do an on ramp and all that stuff. Check that out. And then I have another little bit of housekeeping. If you own a gym, go to btwb.com/all-in-one. And BTWB's got now workout tracking and gym management and billing all under one umbrella. So if you're a gym
There
owner,
you
go
go.
there, put in your info, they get you on the wait list, and then life will just be amazing. So here is our question for the day. Question: I program for an affiliate that I coach at. Downloaded my ebooks. That's cool. Thank you for doing that. And he tries to do the best that he can. I do medium, short, and longer workouts during the week. Recently, the owner said he doesn't like the 5 to 12 minute workouts and that the athletes are there to exercise. So, 7 to 12 minutes is not enough. Granted, of course, I program a good warm-up, skill practice, and an accessory piece. He wants more, quote unquote, nice long workouts. I did as told, but
Don't
still
we
can't.
all, Pat?
Yes, I did as told, but still kept some shorter ones in there. Now I saw that he changed one of the shorter ones to a longer one for himself on the whiteboard. I understand that he is buying a product for his gym. And now that when I program, I feel like I'm programming things that I no longer stand behind. Any advice in this situation? So basically, the boss, the owner of the gym, says, don't give me those short sub 10 minute deals ish. There's the rough synopsis of the question. So I really like this one.
Yeah, me too. And I think there's a couple different approaches here. And I like you. I can see both sides of it. Like there's definitely a case to be made for, hey, we got to give people what they want and what's going to keep them in the door. There's also the case to be made for, hey, we have an obligation to make sure that we are providing the most robust fitness we can. And sometimes that results in workouts that, don't look like they're the most appealing on paper, but they're necessary to do. I think that's something that you're very familiar with, of course. So yeah, it's how do you strike that balance? And to me, I think there's a couple of ways that you can work around this. And I think I'd like to hold out hope that there's possibility to reach some common ground here between this individual and the person that owns this affiliate.
I hope so too, because if you eliminated, first of all, the owner's the owner. So what the owner wants, that's what's going to happen at that facility, right? I mean, it's a franchise, it's an affiliate, not a franchise model. That being said, if you did attend a gym that for whatever reason, they're like, we don't go sub 10 minute burners here, sub five's the work of the devil. We're not going sub 10, period. Period. End of story. It's all 12 minutes and beyond. At 12 minutes and above, there's two sides to that in my mind. The first one is, well, man, that sucks. Because if you're an actual fan of fitness, if you're a real fan of like CrossFit's definition of fitness being well-rounded, GPP, you eliminate those sub 10 minutes. I mean, you're talking no 10 by 100 meter repeats, no Frans, no SQTs, Grace, Helen, Diane, JT, 8 by 200 meter repeats, Elizabeth, Jackie. I mean, like, gone. Gone forever. And the impact those have on being a well-rounded athlete, and even for your ability to go 20 minutes and beyond, which is probably lost on a lot of people, what a huge hole in your fitness. And that's just, there's nothing, it's just sad. If you're a fan of real fitness, it's a sad day. The other part, if I was to be as charitable as possible, right, is that let's say that you didn't do that. And you just was all 12 minutes and beyond, 15 minutes and beyond. Okay. Well, you're still getting pretty darn fit. And you're still probably doing you're doing power cleans and thrusters and rope climbs and rowing, you're box jumping. You're doing these great movements, you know, that are going to treat you so well for, I think, darn near anything that you're going to face in life, but you're not optimizing your fitness. You're going to have some holes in your game. And so I could see kind of, you know, both sides. We can go down a couple roads here if we want.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe we start with how do we, and maybe this is just kind of conflict resolution for any disagreement that you're going to have between a coach and an owner or something like that. But, you know, to me, I think it comes down to figuring out why it is that you want to do something and then communicating that in a way that's not confrontational or combative, but truly expresses your rationale for why this is important. I think sometimes that context hopefully can be enough to convince people that, okay, at least I can give it a shot, even if I don't like it right out the gate. And I feel like sometimes that is missing from a lot of these types of interactions. It's just like, well, I'm going to coach this way, or I'm going to program this way. And, you know, the other side says, well, I expect this and I don't want that. And if that's the extent of the conversation, I feel like you're never going to find any way to progress. So to me, I think one of the first strategies that I would employ is I would start being more detailed with the hourly plan around the program when I provided that program. And so basically scripting out something more akin to a lesson plan that has from minute zero to minute 60 what people are doing, and showing that with a little more granularity, because that can really win a lot of people over if they're, you know, there's a bit of quote unquote sticker shock with what are you going to do with the other 53 minutes, you know, seven minutes of work. What do you mean? This is not valuable for my members. But if it's presented as, okay, minute zero to 10, we're going to be doing warm up X. Minute 10 to 22, we're going to be practicing these two skills in depth. Minute 22 to 25, we're starting to load up the bar. Minute 25 to 27, people are going to the bathroom and we have our final whiteboard brief. At 30 minutes, we start the clock for this first heavy duty, you know, 7-minute workout. 37 minutes, people are on the floor. Minute 40, we're recovered enough that we're going to start practicing these other two skills, X and Y, until minute 55, you know, and on and on and on. That level of detail and attention to that, I think, can be really eye-opening to somebody who, you know, maybe they're not coaching on the floor as often as they used to. But when it's played out like that, and you can see that this is a full hour of work, and it is not something that is going to be entered into lightly with a lot of dead time, that can change the perception of what this 7-minute workout actually is. So that's one strategy that I would start, is like, on those days, let's be a little more detail-oriented. Let's package it in a way that shows, hey, this is a very full class if the coach is doing their job. And that might turn the tide a little bit, or at least get you a little further in that conversation.
So let me keep playing devil's advocate and also leverage, you know, your real experience to, you know, how many gyms you've been around, and not that you can speak for every gym member, but just in an actual sense. Because look at the question here. This individual who's doing the programming, you know, says that at least, hey, I program a good warm-up, skill practice, accessory work. So potentially, you know, this using the time well, maybe it's not laid out, you know, as scheduled as you just said, but it sounds like maybe, let's just say for a second, there's two situations here, right? Either the owner gets the value of the sub 10 minute or doesn't get it. But there's a case where maybe he actually gets it and he's like, look, I get it. But the people who are coming here, they're not spending their time reading the journal. They're not like, they're just, they're going to come in. They want to get a good sweat on. They want to move some weight. They want to feel like they did it. And if you're giving them a long warm up in that person's mind, they're still warming up. It's not the workout. The workout's still 7 minutes. And they were like, really? Like, I was here an hour for this, even though there's so much value that you and I know, and anyone, you know, steeped in CrossFit tradition knows of the skills and the practice and the warmth and all that, but it's not being gotten to the actual member themselves. And I guess my question is, you know, you and I being nerds, I think it can be at time hard to remember what it's like for the average gym owner that's just overwhelmed going there. Hey, I heard CrossFit gets you in shape. That's what I heard. I'm going to roll down here and do this thing because it seems to work pretty well. you know, and that's about their knowledge of what's going on. And if, you know, if every member had this knowledge that we hoped that they did, and so did every gym owner, we wouldn't have any problem with like gyms respecting heavy days. Like it, that would be just a thing that happens all the time, but it doesn't, right? So there must be this disconnect, and it's either a disconnect with, I don't know if it's the general population walking in, wanting something that they think is effective, even if it's not based upon the classic methodology, or a conscious decision from the ownership being like, look, we know why people are coming in, and we know why they don't stay and then they leave. Like we've got to, you know it sucks, but at least let's get them doing some good movements. Let's keep them here a bit. Let's get a good sweat on and get as much fitness out of these people as we can. And I don't know which it is, but from all the gyms you've traveled around, do you get any sense of whether that disconnect, if there is one, lands on just the general person who's overwhelmed by life walking in there? Like, do they really know what's going on with CrossFit and why a sub five has value? Or is it the gym management situation? Do you get any sense of that?
Yeah, I would say, if I had to speculate, and again, hard to paint with the broad brush, because I mean, man, there's so many different scenarios to kind of point at here. But I would say that I think the importance of culture is one that I'm going to come back to all the time. And I, you know, we've talked about this in a lot of different contexts, but if the culture is there where you have, you know, members that have over time started to buy into these shorter workouts, and over time they see the benefit of that, the newer person will eventually kind of fall in line with that. It might take some time, but I think that if that culture is supported and it's like, it's understood, and you can point to people in the gym that have been there 2, 3, 4, 5 years and have developed a pretty impressive fitness around that, you're like, oh, look, that's what the end state is. If I am, you know, have a little bit of faith in what's going on around me, and maybe it, maybe that's not appealing to me right out the gate, but I stick with it long enough and I can actually see the benefit of it, and I think that buy-in becomes a little bit easier. I would also say that I think sometimes what I've observed is members, it kind of depends on which side of the coin they're looking at it from. Is it a short-term thing where they're saying, hey, my members are not that educated on CrossFit. They may never be that educated on like the bigger picture of the methodology. Therefore, I'm going to cater to what they want, quote unquote, or what I perceive them to want. And to me, that is a bit of a short game, because that may be true in the, you know, near term, that you have a good grasp of what they want, what they value. But at the end of the day, if you know that you're kind of shortchanging their result at the end of it, you may create a scenario where 6 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, you have an athlete that has been coming regularly, but because there's not enough variety in the program, they aren't progressing to the level that maybe they would have expected. And now you've got somebody who starts poking around and saying, well, maybe this other gym has something to offer me that I'm not getting here. And so you've kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul in that circumstance, right? You believe that you had something that was going to keep them there in the beginning, but it ultimately didn't land them in a position where their results were as good as they would hope for. And they end up leaving. It's just later. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the other end, I mean, there's no utopia, right? There's a cost for everything.
Right.
The other end is like, okay, maybe you do lose one or two people up front because they can't get their head around these shorter workouts. But the people that do stick around for the long run, they get a better result and they're more bought in through that process. Like, what is more valuable to you? And, you know, I think that depends a lot on your circumstance. But it's good to consider both sides. So that's what I would caution against is, hey, as an owner, as a coach, et cetera, maybe that is more palatable to the new person up front, but does that sustain itself in the long run? And what's more important to you as that owner, somebody that comes through the door and is happy to be there for 6 months to a year and then moves on because they're not satisfied, or somebody who comes in and like, hey, they can grow with you and they're a 5-7 year member and, you know, that retention is there. So I think that's worth weighing out. And I can't answer that for any individual, but, you know, I have my personal bias, of course, as to where I would fall, but,
Yeah. Myself as well. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, playing devil's advocate at times here, but to be clear, like, I'm a fan of fitness, of GPP, of the whole nine yards, short to medium to long. And I personally think you're doing something right in your community if you have that, develop that culture, like you said, that buy-in, that educational component, that why we're doing this, why the heck are we doing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. That someone's going to come in if it's a 20-minute AMRAP. They're going to come in if it's a 5K is posted because they understand the value of that. They're going to come in on a 5x5 back squat day when there's no little burner at the end. And mm-hmm. they're going to come in when the workout of the day is SQT and most people are going to be done around 5 minutes. And they understand like, ooh, that's actually going to be like one of the scarier workouts of the week, a stinger of the week. Mm-hmm. And they get that. In my mind, you got somebody showing up to that day and a 5K day, you're doing a pretty darn good job. Or if they come in and say, you know what? Great news, everybody. For 30 minutes, we're going to practice handstands. And they go, ah, well, I'm going to look foolish, but I know why we're doing this. And if you're like, yeah. I know why, like, that's cool. Like, I actually, like, that's really cool. And I think you're on the right track. And I think it can be done. I agree with you. And I would encourage, you know, in this, getting back to this question, I think one of the key things, which is vague in the question, is I don't know if the box owner gets it or doesn't get it. I don't know mm-hmm. if they understand
right.
the value yeah. of the sub 10 or don't. If they don't understand the value of the sub 10, then like you said, a good adult, clear, transparent conversation, fact-based and logical, needs to take place as to why I think this is a valuable thing that we should have if we're really trying to do this for our members. If they get it and they say, yeah, gotcha, totally get it, as a matter of fact, we're still not doing it. Well, then I guess you're in an interesting predicament as this individual who says he now doesn't feel like he can stand behind the things being programmed. I don't envy that situation. And that's going to be a personal choice as to whether you can stick it out there and try to be the best coach possible to those people that you've developed a relationship with, or you find it so unpalatable that you've got to find a better fit for you. You know, that's an individual decision there. And I wish you well. Before we got on the horn here for this conversation, I phoned in my secret weapon. I phoned into
good.
Nicole Christensen from CrossFit
Roots.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
And I was like, look, you are actually the worst gym owner that I could call for this, because I know, without even knowing, I know that your members get it. Like, I know that sure. you've educated them, so they get it. I said, but she's also been to a ton of gyms, and she talks to gym owners, being a gym owner herself. And she was like, no, she's like, that's actually a really tough predicament that a lot of gym owners find yeah. themselves in and wrestle with, you know, like giving yeah, people yeah, what you know works, or giving them what a lot of people just think that they want, you know, because mm-hmm. you got to pay the bills. And yep. she's like,
maybe, and beyond paying the bills, you got to get them in the door.
Got to get them in the door.
Right?
And
yeah.
she's like, maybe a little bit of like middle of the road smoke and mirrors trickery could take yep. place as well. If maybe you've got this 7-minute workout that's going to occur, you make a really long warm-up that's not another workout. You know, she's of course very clear about that. And I echo that as well. But maybe it's got a couple like 1,000-meter rows in it, but you tell everyone like, hey, this is a casual row, you know, you get a light sweat going, you feel good, you feel like you've been working for a while, but I really haven't taxed you that much. Mm-hmm. And while you're on the rower for 4 or 5 minutes at a moderate pace, I'm going to start talking to you about, because I don't have to coach up that much, I'll tune up your technique over there, but why it is we're doing what we're doing. Hey, there's a short workout today. Why is this effective? What does it do? And if you work those sessions in every now and then, you can slowly start to indoctrinate people as to why it is we go short, medium, long, why this stuff works. And, you know, even if you want to get your longer workouts good, these short ones are going to have an effect, doesn't work the other way around. And so some next level trickery might be a good thing for some people to try.
I agree. I think there's a couple tricks of the trade there. I mean, my first trick was, hey, you know, add times to the plan, make mm-hmm. it very clear what that, you know, depth of lesson plan is going to look like. I think that's one trick that you can do to start moving the conversation along. I think there's kind of two others. And the first is a little bit more macro. And I liken this to the conversation around, well, do we do strength in a Metcon every day, or are they separated out? And I hate that conversation increasingly, because it's like, well, what do you mean? Like, you're just going to approach it one way forever for the rest of your life? Like, that's it? Mm-hmm. Why can't it be both at different times and for different lengths of time? Why is it not on anybody's radar to do like, yeah, maybe 1 week we do dabble with a strength piece and then a little burner at the end, mm-hmm. but that's not always the way we have to do it. Why not do that a couple of times a month? You know, like it doesn't have to be an all or nothing binary. And I feel the same way here, where you've got a pretty big adjustment knob, you know, within the span of a week. Okay, there's an optimal way to look at it and come down from on high with the programming mindset of you have to have a short, medium, and a long. You have to have all these elements represented. Okay, sure, you could look at it analytically and say that that would be a better approach. But at the end of the day, if you miss one of those 1 week and the ratio is a little bit more skewed towards the longer workouts, and gradually over time, you add in a little bit more of the shorter workouts, or from time to time, you kind of oscillate between a block of longer workouts and a block of shorter workouts or anything in between, that ratio, you can play with that all of the time and be tweaking it, you know. And I think there's certainly a world that exists where you can find that balance where the affiliate owner is satisfied that there's enough of these like long workouts where people are getting their quote money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the little sneaker in there once in a while that starts to indoctrinate people into like, oh, there is something valuable here. And maybe over time that ratio changes when people get more comfortable adopting that particular style of workout. It doesn't have to be a static thing week over week. And I'll put this on the programmer and say, hey, look, man, you can't fall in love with your own design so much that you convince yourself that just because it's going to change, it's suddenly not worth doing. Or like, you know, there's this catastrophe of just nobody's going to get better because we added another 5 minutes to the work time of this particular workout. It's like, it's going to be okay. You know, the system is not that fragile, or at least I don't believe it to be so. So yeah, a couple things there. You know, you got that big dial. It's okay to over time adjust that ratio. And number two, you know, from the programmer's point of view, don't get so prideful that you think that it's all going to be lost just because there's one or two changes made to your thing. I'll also say my last trick here is that intervals are the best way to sneak in.
Yes, sir.
Did I steal it from you?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they are the best way to get in some super high intensity work.
Amen.
With built-in rest, and the session length looks long. So like an easy example, we're going to do 2 minutes of work followed by 2 or 3 minutes of rest. Dictate it. It's going to feel like too long. And the instruction is that at the end of that 2 minutes, you need to be going hard enough that you need the 3 minute rest. That's the instruction to the athletes. And you repeat that 4 or 5 times. That's a 20 to 25 minute work block.
Yep.
But the actual reality of it is it's like 10 minutes or less of actual work.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And now you've got the best of both worlds. On paper, you're like, yeah, it's a pretty long session, quote unquote, but you are able to really uncork it and get the benefits of that short and intense effort.
That's it. That's it. I think that's one of the big, I think that's one of the ways that this individual can achieve his aims as a programmer, actually deliver to the population what will best serve their fitness and keep the owner happy all at once. I think the interval in this particular one is going to be a lifesaver, and you can do it the way that you said it. Or you could also have some fun in the affiliate setting and do it as a partner workout where it's a you go, I go, you go, I go.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a built-in one-to-one. So somebody's always working, right? So there's never just 3 minutes of downtime in the class. So somebody walks in, they're going to see constant work the whole time, but you're only working half the time. And if you want to, you know, every now and then also bring it to even more of a, you know, this is what anyone who's been around for a while knows, that more rest is actually more of the devil's work because you're going to get to burn it down. Have it's three people, right? I go and then I rest while person number two goes, and I rest while person number three goes, then I go again. So you can have three people as a team if need be. And I remember a workout done a while ago that was, it's with three people. I'm going to mess it up, so my apologies, but it's really close. It was, I believe, as fast as you can, one person does 10 burpees and a 250 meter row, or vice versa. I might get the let's say it ends in the row, because that's always worse. You do 10 old school burpees as fast as you can. You burn it down on a 250 meter row, like row for your life. You then fall off the row or onto the floor. Person number two does the same thing. Person number three does the same thing. And just, it's such a short interval that you just feel like you can start to stand up again, it's your time to go again. And you do that 10 times through. So you'll have done 100 burpees as, you know, 10 intervals of 10 and 10 250 meter max effort repeats while fatigued. It's disgusting. And no one's going to feel shortchanged. It's a super short time domain. And there's infinite other possibilities like that. And so that's just another thing I would encourage the programmer to kind of, you know, explore that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you one that was a seminar staff staple for a long time. And I think this is one I recall doing with Matt Chan. And then, you know, it's, I don't think it was his workout. It's one that's been around forever. It couldn't be simpler, Pat. You have one echo bike or a salt bike, and it's 10 calories that you owe. And it's just 10 sets of 10 calories. So you hop on, you crank 10, person behind you does the same. And if you have a group of four or five, it works out to be perfect. You get a really heavy duty effort. You're out for a while, significant time, and then you're back on it and you can hit it really hard. Everybody gets 100 calories in there. It's a pretty stout effort. And I'll tell you, by round six or seven, you are not looking to get back on that bike anytime soon. The first couple rounds, you're like, okay, I got this all day. I got plenty of rest. I'm feeling good. Legs are feeling strong. But soon enough, that's going to catch up. And super easy to implement. You know, depending on how many people you have per group, it doesn't take a ton of equipment. And the total working time, if you look at the entire block, is pretty significant. It's not going to be, you know, just this 5-minute effort.
Yep. And if you're, you know, still educating your clients as to how, you know, I guess whatever you need to do to get across to your clients on it, especially on a day like that, where they may not get like 10 calories in the bike, then I rest while four other people go. You just got to explain to them that it really is one of those deals where you're going to get out of it whatever you put into it. If you pedal at a moderate pace, it will be a moderate experience and you'll wonder why we're doing this. If you actually pedal like your family's being held hostage and your effort level is what's going to release them, you will have no questions at the end of the session as to why this was a full workout in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of good stuff there. But yeah, I think that's all I got on that one, man.
Yeah, me too. I think there's a lot of middle ground that can be found. And again, I think there's a shared responsibility, right? Like the owner has to weigh the pros and cons as to, do I cater to the member's perceived wants now versus the potential long-term benefit? And then the programmer has to, I think, you know, bring the rationale behind what they want to do. And at the same time, be open to change. And again, not be so stuck in like, I have the perfect program. It shall not be... shall not be tweaked, you know, because that mindset isn't good either. There's no perfect program and, you know, things are going to change. And if it's so delicate that it requires that level of precision, let me tell you, it's not going to last anyway. So.
Well, I hope that this provided some good knowledge to this individual. Hopefully, like you said, a middle ground can be found and everybody will just march forward happy and healthy into the long-term fitness sunset. So
I truly hope so, Pat.
as always, appreciate everybody out there's support. You can find this episode on the BTWB YouTube channel. Post your thoughts and comments on this topic. Got an idea for a future show? Hit us up there or go to the Very Not Random Instagram account. You can leave a post under any of the shows or, you know, videos that we post there, or you can send a direct message to that account with a show idea and we check all those things. So thanks everybody. For Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.